Is it time to talk about this D.C. convoy? Pretty much in the past tense. Maybe there are a few truckers hanging around, but for the most part, they're headed west now, leaving our area. What's going on?
You know, they're kind of officially heading west. This convoy, of course, has been in the D.C. metro area for 3 weeks now, and, you know, has been causing quite a stir in the city as they roll through the beltway almost every day over the past 3 weeks and cause headaches for commuters as Metropolitan Police has shut down exit ramps amid their protests and loud honking.
What did they accomplish?
Great question. You know, I don't know if they exactly accomplished anything, to be quite frank. The one thing they seemingly did accomplish was kind of irritating D.C. residents and injuring D.C. residents. I know one of their goals was to meet with both Democrat and Republican legislators. I think they ended up meeting with only a couple Republican legislators, including Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, of course. So perhaps they achieved something little there. But in terms of their overall goal of trying to end the Emergency Powers Act, that didn't occur. And instead, at least two individuals, two D.C. residents have been injured. One lady, of course, struck in the ankle, and she claims that the convoy car that hit her broke two bones. And then, of course, a biker who was kind of beaten down after they stole his bike keys.
Zach, did they also accomplish the task of telling the nation's capital, we are here and we are in great numbers? I just throw that up for discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were here in the sense of they were on the beltway, right? Perhaps to the extent in which they hope to burn, you know, their own money and fuel costs, sure, they appeared. I don't know what exactly it accomplished. I will say perhaps it accomplished their goal of trying to get a few headlines. But at the end of the day, I think they now have more problems on their hands, if you think about it. I mean, of course, back at base camp, so to speak, out in Hagerstown, you know, they have their own convoy members now extremely upset with leadership because Brian Braze, the kind of the main leader, kind of fled from Hagerstown, fled to go back home to Northwest Ohio. And they're also dealing with claims from their own convoy members regarding the organization, you know, the People's Convoy being corrupted, quote unquote, in terms of not paying out for things like gas money and other expenses.
What were you able to learn during the time you spent in Hagerstown about how disparate a group this is, like all kinds of different causes coming together? Is that fair to say, or is it less organized than that?
No, I would say it initially perhaps started out more organized, of course. I know the Daily Beast had sent me on assignment out to Hagerstown. I spent a lot of time in Hagerstown. I spent a lot of time circling the beltway in my old beat up car, trying to catch them. So that was fun, of course. But yeah, no, I would say it's kind of a hodgepodge of different people, right? You have people that kind of believe that the 2020 election was rigged. You have, you know, of course, Trump supporters. You have QAnon supporters. But then perhaps you also have some more, it's just some average truckers that, you know, were kind of roped into this by fellow truckers. So like a lot of truck company owners were out at Hagerstown and a lot of other people. So it was kind of like a hodgepodge of a lot of different people, a lot of different stripes that seemingly, you know, at least when the Daily Beast was out there, you know, got the feeling that it very much was kind of this Trump rally-esque energy out there, you know, as you saw the kind of the flags waving and the phrases kind of being chanted.
Was there an economic message? I bring it up only because to take time off from your job to join a convoy like this and hang around with like-minded people means, you know, maybe you've got some money or maybe you don't have a haul to pick up somewhere, a load of lumber or whatever to move. You know, you're just kind of hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, at least when the Daily Beast was out there, you know, I know I spoke with one gentleman from Buffalo. He had brought five of his trucks in a company of 10 trucks. He was kind of, you know, an owner operator type of thing. So, you know, there definitely was a sense of a lot of these truck drivers being, you know, a lot better off than perhaps your average truck driver. But at the same time, I think there also was a pretty big reliance from many of these people in the convoy that they were ultimately going to get reimbursed in some sense of the fashion, you know, perhaps during the convoy or perhaps when this is all done. And a lot of those people out there were kind of banking on, you know, financial reimbursements because this was kind of a financial sacrifice for some of them. So it remains to be seen. You know, I know the convoy has raised $2 million, as we reported at the Beast, but it remains to be seen kind of what how that's distributed and how these claims of corruption, quote unquote, kind of pan out over the next couple of weeks as they head to California.
As they do head out west, they're going to protest health bills proposed there. What more do we know about that?
Yeah, there are a series of like 10 state bills that are supposed to be voted on actually starting this coming week, which, you know, starting Monday, which of course they won't even get there in time to protest those. But I think perhaps later in the week, once they get there, I mean, I'm thinking it should take them at least a week. So, you know, Saturday, they're taking a southern route. It could take even longer. Yeah, so they're looking to protest a handful of these bills, some COVID-related precautions in terms of the coronavirus pandemic. They're not like as much mandates as we've seen many of the mandates kind of across the country be lifted to a certain extent, including here in the district.
So you mentioned, you know, you're driving an older car, trying to keep up with these big trucks. you're following these guys around. You're in the heart of it in Hagerstown. Lessons learned?
This could possibly show, you know, some signs about, you know, kind of Trump world heading into 2022. And, you know, there's a lot of energy, right? And I think a lot of these people are diehard Trump supporters. And at the end of the day, when we went out to Hagerstown and when we were circling the Beltway, one of the things was clear, was like, we miss Trump, right? And there's a great extent to that message and a great enthusiasm about, you know, a rebirth of Trump. A lot of them were supporters of people like, you know, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell or believers in the QAnon conspiracy theory. So they're really diehard and they're willing to go to whatever extent possible to ensure that Donald Trump is put back into the office. And furthermore, you know, they're willing to give up whatever they have. I mean, a lot of these people, like, you know, I know I had spoken with one person, they were giving up their home, right? And we're going to live out of their car for the remainder period of however long this might go. I would say that the supporters are much more diehard than the organizers. The organizers are like, oh, we're going to fly home. You know, I think they've lost a lot of energy. But of course, these supporters are really pushing forward and want to see this go on for months and months, as, you know, some of them believe that they're going to come back to D.C. in 3 weeks and set up camp again in Hagerstown.
I understand the Speedway there is actually getting into the business of what the Speedway is for. And that was maybe another the reason that the truckers have to move on for a while. They need that parking space for people going to see the races.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard, look, the Speedway has, of course, given this land out at the Speedway to the truckers at no cost to the truckers. And I think, you know, they're very supportive of the truckers and everything. But I do think, look, it's almost been a month and the you know, the raceway has to make money at the end of the day. I think they just kind of given them the boot. But I will note that some of the participants of the convoy believe that they can hang out still in D.C. because some of them are kind of like the group is kind of splintering. So some people believe, you know, they're going to try to find a different camp and have like a smaller thing. But, you know, of course, the People's Convoy co-organizers, of course, came out and said, hey, you know, it's a liability issue for us for you guys to keep staying. But, you know, many of these convoy goers are like, no, some of us are staying. So there continues to be kind of a splinter there.
So don't be shocked if you're driving somewhere and suddenly you see one of these trucks or several of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And perhaps we could see, you know, I really don't think that this is going to happen, especially with the organizers becoming so divided. But I will note, like, look, in 3-4 weeks, they could potentially come back from California and potentially be in the area again. Do I think it'll be, you know, as many, you know, diesel trucks? I don't think so. But it could kind of hang around the area for a while.